یک اصل زنده است در تاریخ اسلام.
Emmet is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a shorter speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. Stay tuned.
حقیقت قرآن در عالم بالا به وهم من و شما هم نمیاد که چیه.
Our minds and souls are not capable to understand the high status of the Holy Quran in the heavens. What we have today in our hands is the descent of the Quran. As the late Mullah Sadra in his book Asfar mentions, the Holy Quran has passed over more than 1,000 of stations and whales and then reached us. As we have in the Holy Quran, we have descended down the Quran. This means that the true essence of the Quran is something very much higher than what we understand.
اگر دست بی وضو هست حرام کسی بزنه.
Therefore, it is because of this very high status of the Holy Quran that we are not allowed to touch the Holy Quran without wudu. Even if a piece of the Quran is on the ground, we have to take it either to its original volume or to put it in the box of the sacred text. It is even mentioned that if the Holy Quran falls into a toilet or a water closet, we are not allowed to use the toilet again. All these recommendations show the divine status of the Holy Quran. Thank you very much, dear listeners of Arab English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website parstoday.ir Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
يا شهر الصائمين وروحا للمعاني تقيم الوحي فينا
حبيب التائبين يا شهر الصائمين وروحا للمعاني تقيم الوحي فينا
محارب اتصال برب العالمين وروضات سناها تقيم الوحي فينا محارب اتصال برب العالمين وروضات سناها تقيم الوحي فينا بشهر فاض نورا وقرآنا
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
النقي means the pure, the immaculate, the clean. Al-Hadi means the guide. All the imams came for guidance.
As-salamu alaykum ya ahla bayt al-nubuwa wa mawdi' al-risala wa mukhtalaf al-malaika.
Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety.
This is Dialogue, an introduction into the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is Dialogue. I'm your host Mahdi. Imam Ali ibn Muhammad al-Hadi alayhi salam was a pure source of wisdom and knowledge. Despite his young age, he showed what divinely gifted knowledge really looks like. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was the direct descendant of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was also the 10th divinely appointed imam, and he was the 10th divinely appointed successor of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him. Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was also the son of the 9th divinely appointed imam, Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. After Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam answered with the answers of an expert the most difficult of questions posed to him by the Shia scholars and jurisprudents, the Shia leaders at that time had more faith and certainty now of what they had previously believed, that a divinely appointed imam must have the most knowledge, and he must be the most knowledgeable one of his time, regardless of whether he is young or old. And so the knowledge, virtue, and the delving into the sciences of the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam astonished the minds and sparked meetings and gatherings in all parts of the Muslim world. At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Jamiatul Kabira by Imam Hadi alayhi salam, along with its English translation. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu ala a'immatil huda wa masabih at-tuja wa a'lam at-tuqa wa dawin nuha.
In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Peace be upon the directors of right guidance, the lanterns in darkness, the patterns of piety, the owners of understanding, the endued with thoughts, the havens of the peoples, the inheritors of the prophets, the perfect specimen, the most excellent call in the arguments of Allah against the inhabitants of the world, the hereafter and the former world. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon you all.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu ala mahal.
Peace be upon the exponents of the recognition of Allah, the centers of Allah's blessing, the essence of Allah's wisdom, the keepers of Allah's secrets, the bearers of Allah's book, the successor of Allah's prophet, and the progeny of Allah's messenger. May Allah send blessings upon him and his household. Allah's mercy and blessings too be upon them.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu ala al-a'immat ad-du'at.
Peace be upon the imams, the leaders, the guides, the chiefs, the authorities, the defenders, the protectors, the people of the reminder, the men in authority, the left ones by Allah, His select, His party, the case of His knowledge, His argument, His path, His light, His proof. Allah's mercy and blessings to be upon them.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Hadi, alayhi salam. There's an interesting dialogue that he has with one of his companions. Most probably he's a companion from Ahwaz, if we remember correctly. And so in this conversation and in this dialogue, we find that Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam was talking about both absolute compulsion and absolute free will. After talking about compulsion, which we have, by the grace of Allah, covered in our previous episodes, we find that Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, he moves on towards the concept of absolute free will. And when talking about absolute free will, the divinely appointed Imam, he brings up certain verses from the Holy Quran in trying to prove that this concept of absolute free will is flawed. It has problems in it, and that actually the matter is a matter which is in between these two. So it's very beautiful if you go through the whole conversation, which we have been doing, you know, on the program up to this point, is that, you know, the Imam talks about absolute compulsion, and then he kind of shows the flaws in that. Then he talks about absolute free will. He talks about the flaws in that. And then eventually he starts to talk about this idea that it is a matter between the two matters, meaning it's neither absolute compulsion or absolute free will, but it's something that is in between these two. So here, well, you know, he's talking about the idea of free will. So talking about this, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, he says that he who claims that Allah has entrusted his orders and prohibitions to his people, meaning absolute free will, describes Allah as one who is unable, and consequently Allah is the one who must accept all which the people have done, whether good or bad. This kind of an individual, again, who believes in absolute free will, denies the orders and prohibitions and warnings and threats of Allah. When an individual claims that Allah has entrusted all and everything to man, as in absolute free will, it means that man is free to believe or disbelieve, and that he shall not be blamed for his decision. And so this is here a point that needs to be noted about free will before we end the program. And that's what Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam is saying, yes, we have the freedom to choose between something that is good and something that is bad. But the idea of absolute free will means that, yes, we are free to believe or disbelieve and choose between right and wrong, but absolute free will includes this idea that when we choose, especially when we choose to disbelieve and we choose to do something wrong, then we won't be blamed for that decision, because it's absolute free will. So Allah cannot punish us, and Allah, you know, cannot reward us either, because it is all in our free will. And this is how we see that absolute free will is something which is a flawed concept, and rather the reality is something that is in between the two. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en, Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many other great programs as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Ayahs, 30 days. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. A monotheist person not only reflects on the Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors. Every faithful too, according to the extent that they had learned from the Ahlul Bayt, embarked on this heavy duty. So, the ulema, Muslim scholars, took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued his job till the present day. Today, this duty has become highly important due to the broad assault of enemies against the beliefs of Islam in humanity. In the third episode of Ramadan special series, we are going to explain Ayah 64 of Surah Ali Imran of the Noble Quran. This ayah is about inviting the people of the book to unity and commonalities. Stay tuned, please. The blessed month of Ramadan is the exceptional opportunity with unique moments, particularly in the midnight and dawn. Among the beauties of this world are differences in the nature of human beings. Imam Ali, peace upon him, says that every human is a vast world of thoughts, moralities, and tastes. But the point to note is that differences should not cause distance or enmity and spite among individuals. For instance, consider a vast country where differences cause separation and hostility, and the previous power and solidarity will perish and the country might be disintegrated. Imagine one day in which all Christians, Jews, and Muslims are united and rise up against oppression and injustice. Will there remain injustice anymore? God tells the Prophet in Ayah 64 of Surah Ali Imran, "Say, O people of the book, come to the word common between us and you, that we will worship no one but Allah, and that we will not ascribe any partner to him, and that we will not take each other as lords besides Allah." In this ayah, Allah calls for unity. Unity means to put aside whatever has entered religion as distortion and made it toward polytheism. It means to cling to the fundamental principle, that is monotheism. What causes rift and disunity is to follow those who distort religion purposefully and consciously. There have always been people in history who intend to discord among people. In addition, we live in the digital age, which has yielded individualism. People who are plunged in the cyberspace believe that the best way for achieving happiness and success is to pursue one's vested interest and personal desires. In other words, what is the use of it for me? Is the main concern and question for such people. But how can we rescue human communities from these crises? It seems that sympathy, cooperation, and attachment to one another is the best antidote for individualism and egotism. God says in Ayah 103 of Surah Al-Imran, "And hold fast to Allah's cord, all together, and do not be divided. And remember Allah's blessing upon you when you were enemies. Then He brought your hearts together, so you became brothers with His blessing." Interestingly, the capitalist world and Western liberalism claims to make unity based on common interest among humans, whereas this is not unity. It is rather contradiction and enmity, because whoever intends to gain more profit considers others as troublesome and enemy. So, he cannot feel sympathy and cooperate with him. Unity and cooperation materializes around obedience of God and the Prophet. In the Battle of Badr, Muslims fought with trust in God and triumphed in spite of being small in number. Then, in order to prevent Muslims from being trapped in rivalry for gaining more war booties and worldly gains, Allah said in Ayah 46 of Surah Anfal, "And obey Allah and His Apostle, and do not dispute, or you will lose heart and your power will be gone." Thus, obedience of God and the Prophet is the way for unity and solidarity. Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace upon her, said on this, "Allah ordained our velayat, authority and rule, the factor for solidarity and coherence of Ummah. But the front of arrogance, the United States and its allies administer the world through the old policy of sow discord and rule. In a clear and face-to-face battle, it is easy to recognize the enemy, but it is very hard to recognize the enemy in soft war and compound war. In such wars, enemies come to the scene with the visage of a friend." Imam Ali, peace upon him, says in Nahjul Balagha that once a man came to him during his rule. The man asked the Imam, "What happened years ago that your right was usurped?" Imam Ali, peace upon him, answered, "O brother, you are speaking undue words. Let me speak to you about Muawiyah." This shows how we should discern priority at any time and take the proper measure. To put it clearer, we should not be engaged in margins to neglect the main enemy. At that time, Muawiyah, son of Abu Sufyan, was the main enemy. Thus, the commander of the faithful abandoned his differences with other sects. It has been narrated that one of the Sunni inhabitants of Samarra in Iraq held grudge against Mirza Muhammad Hassan Husseini Shirazi, the great source of emulation of Shia Muslims over a century ago. The man injured the elder son of Mirza Shirazi and the son succumbed to injury. The great source of emulation showed no reaction. However, the enemies of Muslims decided to exploit the situation to cause a sedition and fish in the troubled water. They came up to Mirza calling for harsh reaction from him. Yet, Mirza Shirazi insightfully and smartly understood their motive and said resolutely to the British Council, "In Iraq, there is no need for the British interference in the affair that has nothing to do with them. You are not entitled to meddle in any of the affairs related to us Muslims and our lands. This is a simple issue between two brothers. We have the same religion, Qibla and Quran." It is good to know that the British policy of sow discord and rule and being strongly implemented in the Islamic countries. The 8-year war that the United States and its allies imposed on the Islamic Republic of Iran through their suge, Saddam Hussein, was an obvious instance of this policy. But the insightful and smart leader of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, said in the heat of the war, "Whatever you want to shout, cry it out against the US." The founder of the Islamic Republic very sharply and foresightedly distinguished the arch enemy of Muslims and kept stressing all-out struggle against it. He explained to the people that if there is a war in the region and if Saddam, Ali Saud and Wahhabis are forging rift and causing sedition, the roots of all of them should be traced in Washington. The blessed month of Ramadan is the outstanding symbol of unity and solidarity among Muslims. Fasting in this month, like Hajj pilgrimage and rituals, unites Muslims and gives them a single color. Muslims from all sects gather around the obedience of Allah within the Islamic Ummah. Every Muslim considers himself or herself as a member of this great Ummah. They feel close to all brothers and sisters living in the farthest regions in the world. Let us obey the noble Quran and get united around the Prophet against common enemies.
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahruddin was.
When we say Divan of Hafiz is a book of Irfan,
Maulavi claims that this Masnavi Ma'navi is the interpretation of the Quran.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher, an introduction into the religious and scholarly lives of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite dignitaries, personalities, ulama and scholars during the history of Islam. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, two Islamic scholars from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Rouhani and Shaykh Fadai. Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Shaykh Fadai, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Alright, for today's discussion, we want to talk about an outstanding figure of Persia or Iran. He was the main chancellor at the kingdom of Nasiruddin Shah Qajar, Mirza Muhammad Taghi Khan Farahani, mainly known as Amir Kabir. So many reformations, or corrections, better to say, were done during his era of deputyship and ministership. On that time, founding so many mosques and schools, struggling against the Babis on that time, were among the main struggles of this outstanding man who was killed and assassinated by the order of the king of the time. Before getting to more details of his life, Shaykh Rouhani, give us some information about the early life and biography of Amir Kabir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Mirza Muhammad Taghi Khan Farahani, known as Amir Kabir, was born in 1185 in the city called Iraq. And in Iran, actually, he died, in 1230 in Kashan, which is another city in Isfahan. And of course, he was buried in the holy shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam. He was among the dignified, let's say, Shiite politicians in the history of the Shayyo, who was the chancellor at the time of Shah Nasiruddin Shah Qajar.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much, Shaykh Rouhani. Beside, he came up from a poor family. I mean, they say that he was the son of the cook, you know, of the kingdom of that time, but he studied. And after that, that's why when he got this ministership, he took care lots about the poor and the orphans of the society. Besides his political life, he was also famous for his religious life. One of them was struggling against deviations and sectarianism during his era, I mean, especially against Ali Muhammad Bab. Who was Ali Muhammad Bab, and what were the struggles of Amir Kabir against him?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know, Bab means door or gate.
Yes.
First of all, Ali Muhammad Bab claimed that I'm the gate to Imam Zaman. It means that if you want to reach the teachings of Imam Zaman and the, as we call, Ma'rifah, Ma'rifatul Imam, if you want to reach that level, you have to pass from me. As we have a famous hadith, Ala Madinatul Ilm wa Aliyun Babuha, they want to copy this theory that Imam Zaman is Madinatul Ilm and Bab, the door of that Medina, yes, is Muhammad. That was his claim.
Uh-huh.
That first of all, you should come to me,
uh-huh,
and I will give you this access to use from Imam Zaman. So that was a wrong claim, because we don't have this kind of claim in our religious studies to someone claim to be, I'm the Bab and gate of Imam. We don't have this. We just have Vilayat al-Faqih. We just have, yes, Marja'iyah.
Yes.
It is not that Bab. But he didn't stop at that level. After a while, he claimed that I'm a prophet. And after a while, he claimed that I'm a God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it means that they didn't want to help religion and then they, I don't know, face the distortion. No. From the beginning, they wanted to deviate the religion in order to gain what they want, in order to build their future. After a while, Islamic scholars and Shiite scholars, they understood the plan.
Yes.
And they stood against Muhammad Ali Bab. And first of all, he did Tawbah. He said that, yes, I was wrong. I never repeat that. But he repeated a lot, and then they escaped from Iran. And after some times, another figure called Hussein Ali Nuri,
yes,
one of his students, he made another sect, mm-hmm, Baha'iyah.
Yes.
They called him Baha'ullah.
Yes.
And he made another sect in Babiyah,
yes,
called Baha'iyah.
Yes.
Maybe there are some differences, but yes, generally, mm-hmm, both of them are a distorted and deviated way of religion.
Yes.
And if we study about this sect, we can see that, after all, nowadays, you cannot see anything from religion,
mm-hmm,
among them.
Yes.
Yes, we have a lot of sects in Shia and Sunni. For example, in Sunni, we have Hanafi, Maliki, Hanbali, Shafi'i. Yes. And I don't know, in Shia, we have Zaydi, we have Imami, 12er. But when you study about Baha'iyah and Babiyah, you can see that more than being a religious kind of sect, they are a political sect.
That's right.
Not a religious one. And nowadays, their important city is Haifa in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they are making a lot of conspiracy for Iran. If they are real Shia, what they are trying to destroy Iran,
yes,
what they are helping Zionism. You know, at that time, Amir Kabir, with his broad view, could understand that this distortion can and have the potential to destroy Islam.
Yes.
So he tried a lot to, yes, stay in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, some other scholars like Ayatollah Sayyid Barfurushi, they started that.
In different regions of Iran.
But, yes, what is the difference? The difference is that Amir Kabir had the power.
Uh-huh.
He had the power.
So in the organized, mobilized way,
yes,
he tried to, for example, create or establish a kind of establishment against Babism on that time.
That is why,
yes,
our scholars like Imam Khomeini and, mm-hmm, our supreme leader, they believe that we should have Islamic government.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have the power, you cannot stop these kind of deviation.
That's right.
Amir Kabir, by the help of power, he could stop them.
Mm-hmm.
And after the time of Amir Kabir, they couldn't do anything important. They just escaped from Iran and go to other parts like Turkey, like Israel.
Yes.
And nowadays, they are just busy with their conspiracies.
That's right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Fadai.
IB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah.
So many outstanding other works were done by Amir Kabir. One of them was, for example, establishing some schools, or it's better to say technical schools, like, for example, Darul Funun or Polytechnic schools on that time, about agriculture, about somehow establishing a kind of judicial system of the time, vaccination, general public vaccination on that time, respecting the ulama and establishing majalis for the Ahlul Bayt on that time in an organized way, and also boosting the national economy against colonialism on that time were among the most outstanding things that Amir Kabir did on that time. What about other achievements of Amir Kabir, Sheikh Rouhani?
I think one of the important features that could be mentioned here regarding the personality of this great Shiite figure in the history is this, that he was very much dedicated to the jurisprudential as well as legal kind of rulings and country, and he tried his best to fulfill the Shari'i and also the, let's say, legal kind of rulings in the society to protect the people against any sort of distortion or deviations, particularly from jurisprudential and legal point of view.
Yes.
That's why when the people, for example, referred to the courts, He tried his best to fulfill justice,
yes,
in the courts based on the Sharia laws. I think from a religious perspective, this aspect of his life is really important and significant. That's why he tried to appoint the, let's say, just and fair judges,
yes,
in the courts, and in terms of legal kind of affairs of the people, he was very much sensitive and cautious to fulfill justice in the society. That's why in his time people feel more immune and secure as compared to the rest of the times. Mm-hmm. For example, one of the things that he fought against was bribery. He stopped the people doing this kind of illegal and also non-Islamic and religious action. And of course, when it comes to civil kind of morality, yes, he was again very much cautious to tell the people as well as the officials, as well as the, for example, soldiers, let's say military figures, to respect the people, to pay tribute, and also to dignify the people, to secure the ladies and women when they go to the city, to bazaar, to market, to feel immune and safe. That's why he stopped drinking completely and banned,
yes,
all those places where the people drank.
Yes.
These are some of the really, really great efforts that he made,
yes,
to make a better Islamic society, a better Islamic kind of community in different cities at that time.
That's right. Unfortunately, most of the achievements, of course, somehow made him very much famous in the eyes of the king of the time, Nasiruddin Shah. You know, so much backbiting and slandering coming into the kingdom court against Amir Kabir by his enemies. It could be either from the political sides or colonialists or Babis on that time. That's why the king decided to exile him into Kashan. And after 2 days in exile in Kashan, he was assassinated, unfortunately, over there in the city of Kashan. First, his body was buried over there in a small cemetery, but then by the order of his wife, Izzatuddawla, his body was taken to the city of Karbala, and he was buried in one of the chambers around the holy shrine of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. That's right. Anything missed, Sheikh Fadai, about Amir Kabir?
There is a misunderstanding,
yes,
and it's better to say an accusation about Amir Kabir.
Yes.
Some people believe that Amir Kabir was not a complete religious person, and he was more westernized person. I mean, the one who is under the impact of Western culture. It is not like that. It, mm-hmm, is just an accusation. Yes, Amir Kabir Nasir was familiar with the West and Western studies, and he used that in order to improve his country. But he was a complete religious figure. And what is the root for that accusation? Amir Kabir stopped Bast Nishini and Ta'ziyah. What are these two? Bast Nishini was a phenomenon. At that time, when there were some rebels, and when there were some rises, and the king, the soldiers of kingdom want to stop them, they escaped and went to, for example, holy shrines and the houses of scholars, and stood there. And because of the respect and dignity of that shrine or that house, the soldiers didn't have the permission to arrest them. That was called Bast Nishini. And the other phenomenon was Ta'ziyah. Ta'ziyah, as we have it today, is a kind of show and play. About some happening, about the event happened in Karbala, usually. You know, Amir Kabir stopped these two phenomena because of the distortion that happened.
For distortion of religious beliefs.
Example, in Bast Nishini, there were a lot of rebels at that time. Not good people, not good, not correct rise. They escaped to the holy shrine, like Shah Abdul Azim. And I don't know, some houses. And, you know, after a while, even some political places was used for Bast Nishini. So because of that, the soldiers of kingdom couldn't catch them. So that was not good. You cannot.
So in order to stop those riots and rebels from taking refuge in religious places,
Amir Kabir didn't have the respect for ulamas or the shrine. It was not like that.
It was not like that.
And for Ta'ziyah, you know, in the story of Ta'ziyah, there were a lot of superstitions. Even now, we can see that a lot of superstitious beliefs are preached in Ta'ziyah. Amir Kabir tried to stop these superstitions and deviation. You know, in order to end the discussion, I want to read a quotation from Ayatollah Makarem. Ayatollah Makarem, after mentioning a lot of services from Amir Kabir, says that we can understand that all the actions of Amir Kabir were in the way of strengthening the religion and the religious society. And he was a completely religious one.
That's right. Okay. One of his habits was reading out Ziyarat al-Ashura every day. They say it is, this is mentioned in the documents, and respecting very much, spending money and nuzurat for the Aimmas, rebuilding and reconstructing the holy shrines of the Aimmas in Iran, in Mashhad, Qom, and the cities of Iraq, Najaf, Karbala, and Kazimian al-Samira, among the other efforts and endeavors of Amir Kabir. May Allah bless his soul. Thank you very much, Sheikh Fadai and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding his life. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
I'm talking about the Gaza kids. Their little hearts are shattering out of fear. Explosion? Whose home was destroyed? Do you know the owner of the house? Are they familiar to you? Anyway, they are a human. Just like you. You know, after every explosion, a kid starts shivering like hell and never gets back to the person he was before. Listen, the destiny of the people in this land has been interwoven with the children's cries for 75 years. Look at that mother. The mother who is pressing her dead child to her chest. And over there, a father is standing on the rubble of his hopes. Here's just the smell of blood and gunpowder. Do you know how terrible the smell of burnt soil, the traces of blood everywhere, homelessness, darkness, starvation, and thirst is? A mother moans, a father screams, and a kid is no longer laughing. Narrate them. I will narrate the wounds which need time to heal. And the resistance will guarantee a bright future for them for sure.
Gaza Vibes.
Khalil, take a stretcher. Hurry up. Take him to the hospital. He's badly bleeding.
Thank you.
Hey, man, be resistant, okay? Doctor, we don't have anesthesia. We've run out of the medications. Be resistant. You're young. You have to live a long life, okay?
We have to amputate his legs.
He can't stay alive without anesthesia, Doctor.
We have no other choice. We have to rush. He has lost much blood.
We're running out of emergency electricity.
Just hurry up.
His oxygen level is decreasing and his heart rate is going up. We have to rush. We're losing him. We need defibrillators. One, two, three. Again. One, two, three. Once again. One, two, three.
Oh, we lost him.
Come on, let's go. We have been injured outside.
I'm coming. We've run out of anesthesia and medications. What can we do? Doctor, there is a bullet in his back. Suppose he's no more than 8 years old. Hey, boy, be patient. Aha, oxygen. We need oxygen. He lost his consciousness, but has pulse. Oh, God, help him. Oh, God. We don't know what to do. It's a genocide against us. Genocide against Palestinian children and innocent people. Mohammed, we have no choice. Let the injured lie down on the corridor's floor. I have to go to Ashifa Hospital. The Zionists have struck the hospital and so many injured are left. Take me to Ashifa Hospital. We have to bring some of the injured to our hospital. Just hurry up. Look at the streets. The Zionists have destroyed everything. May God help our people. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Stop here. The road is closed. Continue the way on foot. Take the injured to the hospital. Just hurry up. Oh, God. The hospital is struck. No water. No food. No electricity, no fuel. People had just come to the hospital to get sheltered. Why did they kill them? Why is the world silent towards such heinous crimes? There is an ambulance at the end of the alley. Carry the injured to the car. Adnan, we have to go out of hospital tomorrow. Children are malnourished and need care. In just 10 days. Nothing can justify the Zionist brutishness. Oh, they even hit the ambulances which carry the injured with rockets. Many of the hospital personnel have been martyred in such attacks. My friends, my colleagues, my family. As you look at the city from the roof of the hospital, you see a catastrophe. Respiratory infections are raging through Gaza. The premature babies are dying in hospitals because the electricity is cut off. And children are dying one by one because of starvation and dehydration. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel.
This program is dedicated to the martyrs of Gaza.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle.